Good Evening, The President on Christmas, and A Gift from Kim Jong-un. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the news for Tuesday, December 24th, 2019. Tomorrow is Christmas, the day after is the start of Kwanzaa, and then we're in the midst of Hanukkah, and the new year is just down the road. The use of happy holidays is nothing new. It's been a catch-all greeting for at least a century. But in 2005, when President George W. Bush omitted Merry Christmas from his White House holiday card, it joined the Starbucks holiday coffee cups as a new conservative trope, the alleged war on Christmas, another front in the culture wars. President Trump has made the so-called censoring of Christmas in public discourse a favorite theme when stirring up his base.
And we can say Merry Christmas again. People are saying Merry Christmas again, and we like the sound.
Earlier this week, while white supremacist and Iowa huckster Congressman Steve King falsely claimed that a Starbucks employee has been fired for saying Merry Christmas to a customer, it turned out the story originated with a fake Twitter account. Recent polls show that 66% of Americans, a country still 80% Christian, prefer Merry Christmas, but among Democrats, the same number, two-thirds, prefer Happy Holidays. But gifts and commercialism, as they entail a staple of holiday celebrations, no matter what the philosophical calling. In Argentina, hundreds of activists from the group Extinction Rebellion stormed a mall in Buenos Aires on Monday evening. They were protesting.
Protestando por el consumismo extremo que se está aproximando en estas fechas.
They were protesting late-night shopping, a feature of Christmas in the South American nation. We were listening to Thomas Calera, an activist with the group, who said, we just seek to stop consuming so that people open their eyes and these industries stop contaminating our planet with the extinction of natural resources, whether it is today, the 23rd, the 24th, and all other days that come along. Every year, some malls in Buenos Aires open their doors until 4 in the morning on the 23rd of December to increase Christmas sales. But another kind of gift is promised by North Korea for President Trump this holiday season. President Trump, talking to reporters after a Christmas Eve call to the troops, said, "We're still not sure if the gift is naughty or nice."
But if we ask you that, North Korea, Kim Jong-un is threatening a Christmas surprise for the world.
Oh, that's okay. We'll find out what the surprise is, and we'll deal with it very successfully. Let's see what happens. Everybody's got surprises for me, but let's see what happens. I handle them as they come along. So you saw that. These are great people. Our military is now replenished. We were totally depleted when I came into office, and it's great stuff. It's great stuff. What's happened? And you see these incredible people. We have the best in the world. So it's totally replenished. New equipment's coming in on a daily basis. It's being made, all made in the USA. And our economy is the strongest it's ever been.
What options are you considering, Mr. President, if it does end up being a long-range missile test?
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Let's see. Maybe it's a nice present. Maybe it's a present where he sends me a beautiful vase, as opposed to a missile test, right? I may get a vase. I may get a nice present from him. You don't know. You never know.
In recent speeches, Trump has returned to calling North Korean leader Kim Jong-un Little Rocket Man, prompting the North Korean leader to retaliate in the insult wars, calling Trump a dotard, meaning a senile old man. At a summit between the two leaders earlier this year in Hanoi, an agreement slipped through their fingers, in part because of then-National Security Advisor John Bolton's hard line demanding complete denuclearization before the USA grants any relief from sanctions against the country. Since then, Bolton resigned and has been publicly criticizing Trump's attempts at brokering a big deal. A new war between the U.S. and North Korea would have horrific consequences. A recent Pentagon study says at least 20,000 a day would die in such a conflict. Women Cross DMZ is a peace group involved in trying to end the Korean War. The United States and North Korea are technically still at war since an armistice ended the bloody fighting in 1953. A founder of the group is Christine Ahn. She says not to discount the North Koreans' promise of a Christmas gift.
It seriously, the North Koreans, there was also contingent to that Christmas present, and it was dependent on whether the United States was willing to shift its negotiating stance from Hanoi. As you may recall, John Bolton was there, and it led to a grand deal that the North Koreans were offered the promise of improved economic relations between the U.S. and North Korea if they were to give up everything up front. That included all their nuclear arsenal and many other things. And so that obviously wasn't going to work for the North Koreans. And so they've made very clear what they need to get to some kind of negotiated peace with the United States. And that includes, first of all, some kind of security guarantee that the U.S. won't strike the North Koreans with nuclear weapons. The second is a clear commitment to normalize relations. And that means whether it's lifting some of the sanctions that are killing North Korean innocent lives right now. It could mean a lifting of the U.S. travel ban. It could mean opening up liaison offices to improve diplomatic ties between the two countries, but some kind of clear commitment to normalize relations beyond a piece of paper, beyond the symmetry between Trump and Kim. And the third is to agree to some kind of step-by-step process, not this grand bargain that the U.S. was insisting on, the Bolton model in Hanoi. And so I would hold North Korea to their word when they say that they're going to give a Christmas gift. It's going to all depend on how fast Stephen Biegun, who is now the Deputy Secretary of State and a special representative on North Korea, was able. We know that he traveled to Seoul, Korea. He said, we're ready to deal. We're ready to talk. And he also went to Beijing, China. So we don't know what the outcome of that trip was, whether he just met with the Chinese, which the Chinese and the Russians have come out with a clear statement that some of the sanctions should be lifted that are really harming North Korean lives. And so depends on what is happening behind the scenes, which we don't really quite know.
Could this Christmas present be a nuclear explosion or a mega missile launch, or do you expect it to be something less than that?
It could be a long-range missile test. We've seen some indications that they have done some of the preparations. We know they have tested a number of short-range missiles, and the Sohae launch long-range missile facility has been active in the last few weeks. That's what we can presume. And again, it's not because North Korea wants to provoke the American people or threaten us with nuclear weapons. It's just that they are making clear that in order to get to some kind of negotiated peace, they unfortunately have to use militarism to get the attention of the United States.
That could be very negative. I mean, he's made a lot of threats, Trump. What could the U.S. do? Could the U.S. overreact?
The U.S. could overreact. And I think that right now, the neocons in the Trump administration would like nothing more than to distract the country with going to war with North Korea. With all the impeachment hearings, with all the scandals that the president is embroiled in, this has not eluded past administrations. And so that is our greatest fear. And it's what we have made clear by sending messages to both Stephen Biegun and also to the North Korean mission at the UN, is that despite the lack of tangible progress, both sides have reduced their militarism. The U.S. and South Korea have scaled back their military exercises, and North Korea has not tested nuclear weapons or long-range missiles in the last 2 years. Those are all very positive signs, and the result has been that now 2 out of 3 of Americans support a peace agreement with North Korea. And so that is the clear message we send as Women Cross DMZ is, yes, we haven't quite gotten there, but it's 70 years of war. We take small steps, and hopefully we can get to a negotiated peace agreement. That is what is going to end the Korean War. And that really is the only possible path to achieving the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula is peace. And that's what we need to really drill down into the minds of Americans. We want to remove the threat of nuclear war. We want to stop the provocation on both sides. And the best way forward is a peace agreement with North Korea.
Christine, An is a founder of Women Cross DMZ, a peace group involved in trying to end the Korean War. The United States and North Korea are technically still at war since an armistice ended the bloody fighting in 1953. In more Christmas news, United States Space Command will probably be searching the skies for Santa Claus tonight, as they usually do from their NORAD headquarters in the middle part of the United States, using the vast radar system that is used to guard the United States from illicit crossings of our borders, including by nuclear missiles. So hopefully they won't make any mistakes there, right, Reggie? We hope so. So during the Tuesday event, a reporter asked Trump if he was planning to pardon Roger Stone. He said he hadn't considered it yet, but said Stone was a good person.
Roger Stone, are you going to pardon him, sir? He's been convicted of felonies.
Am I going to pardon him?
Yes.
Well, I think it's very tough what they did to Roger Stone compared to what they do to other people on their side. I think it's very tough. I think it's a very tough situation that they did something like that. You know, Roger Stone was not involved in my campaign in any way other than the very, very beginning long before I announced a little bit. I've known Roger over the years. He's a nice guy. A lot of people like him. And he got hit very hard, as did General Flynn and as did a lot of other people. They got hit very, very hard. And now they're finding out it was all a big hoax. They're finding out it was a horrible thing. We were spied on. My campaign was spied on. And again, Roger Stone was not a part of it, the campaign. He was somebody I've known over the years, but not a part of the campaign. Very, very, very early on, long before I even announced, he was involved in a minor way. But he's a good person. And what they did to him is very unfair, in my opinion. And what they did to General Flynn is very unfair, in my opinion. And what they did to so many others is very unfair. And now we found out they're a bunch of dirty cops. And paid for by the DNC, paid for by Hillary Clinton in many cases, and in much. They did a phony dossier. They used the dossier for FISA. And now, as you know, the FISA court and your top judge is very much involved, and hopefully they're going to do something about it. But these were dirty people. These were bad people. These were evil people. And I hope that someday I'm going to consider it my greatest or one of my greatest achievements, getting rid of them. Because we have no place in our country for people like that.
Stone, along with Trump's first national security advisor, Michael Flynn, were charged in connection with former special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. Stone served briefly on Trump's first presidential campaign, but left in August 2015. According to prosecutors, Stone was a connection between WikiLeaks and the Trump campaign. He was convicted of lying about those contacts. Trump responded to Stone's conviction on all seven counts of his indictment last month, claiming it as evidence of a double standard because his political rivals have not faced charges. Stone is slated to be sentenced in February. Flynn, who pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his contacts with the Russian ambassador to the U.S., will be sentenced next month. Trump went on to deflect a question about his conversations with Russian President Vladimir Putin about Ukraine's alleged involvement in the president's legal problems, but then went into a denunciation of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and so-called, and we will hear from now here.
What did President Putin say to you that convinced you that the Ukraine interfered in the 2016 election?
What did he say to me?
Yeah.
About what?
What did President Putin say to you?
You're putting words in somebody's mouth. Who are you referring to? Me? I never said anything about it. I never said a thing about it. Any other questions?
Mr. President, are you concerned Pelosi will hold up the articles of impeachment indefinitely?
Well, all I know is my poll numbers are the highest they've ever been. Our fundraising in the Republican Party is the highest it's ever been. She hates the Republican Party. She hates all of the people that voted for me and the Republican Party. And she's desperate to do it. Look, she got thrown out as Speaker once before. She lost like 63 seats, 61 or 63, tremendous, a record-setting number of seats. I think it's going to happen again. She's doing a tremendous disservice to the country. She's not doing a good job. And some people think that she doesn't know what she's doing. A lot of people think that. A lot of people have said it. They had no evidence at all. They had no crime. We had 196 or so Republicans voting 100%. We didn't lose one Republican vote in the House. We had three Democrats come over to our side, two in another instance, two in an additional instance, and we're in a very good position. Ultimately, that decision is going to be made by Mitch McConnell, and he will make it. You know, he has the right to do whatever he wants. He's the head of the Senate. People remember they treated us very unfairly. They didn't give us due process. They didn't give us a lawyer. They didn't give us anything. Now they come to the Senate and they want everything. You look back just 2 weeks, just look back at what they did. But over a long period of time, look at what they did. We weren't entitled to witnesses. We weren't entitled to lawyers. We sat in a basement. They would leak everything. They would leak it. We weren't entitled to do anything. They would leak selectively with a sick, corrupt politician named Schiff. He's a corrupt politician. They treated us worse than anybody's been treated from a legal standpoint in the history of the United States. It's never happened before, where you can't have a lawyer, you can't have a witness, you can't have time. You didn't have, even recently when they had the constitutional lawyers, they got three lawyers, we got one. Fortunately, our one lawyer was better than their three. And we also had a much better case. We have a perfect case. I say it again, we have a perfect case. They had no case.
Trump ended his encounter with the media by stating he will host signing of his new trade agreement with China.
Mr. President, are you going to hold a signing ceremony?
Guys, we're heading out. Let's go, guys.
The China deal, we will be having a signing ceremony, yes.
Will you sign it, you and Xi Jinping?
We will ultimately, yes, we will.
Do you know where
when
that
we get together, we will do, but we'll have a quicker signing because we want to get it done. The deal is done.
China says it'll cut import tariffs for frozen pork, pharmaceuticals, and some high-tech components starting January 1st. The plan, approved by China's cabinet, will lower tariffs for all trading partners in 859 types of products to below the rates that apply to most favored nations. Trump's initiative is the first part of a larger deal between the two nations, but it's unclear how far the deal-making will eventually go. Making an advantageous deal with China is a hallmark of Trump's promises to his political base. Meanwhile, in the world's second most populous country, India, at least 46 protesters, including students, were arrested during a protest against the Citizenship Act at a government building in New Delhi on Monday. Protesters being taken away by police vehicles. Other demonstrators were also seen being put into a bus. According to reports, male protesters were taken to a police station while female students were brought to their universities. Demonstrations have been held over the bill entitling non-Muslim migrants from Afghanistan, Bangladesh, and Pakistan to any Indian citizenship if they entered the country before 2015. Critics of the bill believe that it would result in the further exclusion of some 200 million Muslims living in the country. And from the land of Oz, wildfires continue raging across Australia. The smoke has been choking residents and tourists alike in several cities in recent days. In Sydney, they had this to say.
Mother-in-law, yes, she's having respiratory problems, but you know, as I said again, it can't be helped. It's one of those things. You've got all those brilliant firefighters out there fighting the fires, and we're doing the best we can.
We've come from Melbourne, and the smoke was actually over Melbourne yesterday. So, yeah, we've been following it.
At least 8 people were reportedly killed, 2,500 buildings destroyed, and an area larger than the state of Maryland burnt in the fires in Australia in the past months. The past week has seen record-breaking heat across the country. In some areas, temperatures topped 118 degrees. Meteorologists say 4 or 5 of the hottest days in Australia's recorded history occurred last week. And finally, WBAI producer Dred Scott Keyes passed away last week. He's being laid to rest today in a small service in a designated place for veterans in Queens. His family is working on a location for a memorial. He was a producer, engineer, and host for WBAI over many years, as well as a journalist and WBAI news producer. His most recent show was Cutting Edge, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Dredd was also closely associated with the Midnight Ravers. Dredd was a unique artist whose work documented the lives of his people and their multifaceted struggle for equal rights and justice. And we have a few minutes here on this quiet news day, and our number is 212-209-2877, and we'd be happy to take a call or two if we can fit them in the next 5 minutes about the news stories we cover, about remembering Dred Scott Keys. Any of those are good things to talk about in these last few minutes of the news. Tomorrow being a very quiet day, we hope. You never know, right, in this world. Again, our number, 212-209-2877.
Crossing fingers and toes on that one, Paul.
Right, I know. I might have to run over with turkey stains on my shirt to get here.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad scene, though.
Well, hopefully it would be a good thing and not a bad thing, right? And but, you know, it's rare that we stop everything and come running into the microphones for good things, right?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Right, Reggie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, Reggie's here. He's the quiet man. He's going to be here. You going to be here tomorrow too?
I will be here. Yes, I will be here. Hopefully, there will be it'll be a very underwhelming day. But as you have just said, who knows? I mean, the world, it seems to have gone topsy turvy, and I guess you've heard about the recent mass shooting that happened in Moscow, right?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a video, and that was extreme, very extreme.
Yeah.
And, the world is, sometimes I wonder if there's times when we just have heightened sensitivity to things that are going on in the world, and that this is actually going on all the time. But one of the things that really stands out are the protests.
Mm-hmm.
And although the United States has so far not had those protests for some reason, we have a lot of faith in our system here and the electoral system. But around the world, whether it be Chile or Iraq or Iran, the protests, China, you name it, the protests are going on. And we have somebody who's calling and wants to be on the air. Great, a couple of callers. Welcome.
Okay.
Hang on, we'll take your calls, your questions about the news in the few minutes we have left. And hello, welcome to WBAI.
Hi, Paul. I hope we're not going to have a big surprise from North Korea tomorrow to report about.
Right. Do you use the term Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas or none?
I do say Happy Holidays. Also, I don't celebrate anything but the solstice.
The solstice, right? And I think most people I talk to today say happy solstice. Very good. We have another caller. We have to go. Thank you very much. We don't have a lot of time this time, but we'll have more time next time. Hello, you're on the radio.
Yeah, hi. Paul. This is Arnold from Peekskill. Hi, Reggie. Happy holidays.
Yeah, so you say happy holidays.
Yeah.
He just said it.
Yeah, you just said it. Oh, we know. Any questions or comments in our last few minutes for the news?
It's frightening. They've had we've been at war in the Korean Peninsula for about almost 70 years. It's time to end the Korean War.
There you go.
Whatever one thinks of Kim Jong-un, South Korea. I mean, South Korea is no saint. They were a military dictatorship until 1986.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And I think that's it. I think that's what everybody's saying, is that the first step to any denuclearization is to actually end that war and not, like Bolton, hold out denuclearization before you end the war. Ridiculous. It'll never work.
Really, one of the rare times that Donald Trump is actually left to anything. Mark that up.
Well, I'm looking at an analog clock here. We have an analog clock here in our studio, and I think of that saying, even a broken analog clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
We have another caller?
We got another caller.
Oh, okay, you're welcome. We got a couple of minutes. Go for it.
Hey, it's me again. I wanted to speak to you off the air because I don't have your phone number anymore.
Oh, well, get my email. If you go to pauldirienzo.com, you will find my email, pauldirienzo, DERIENZO.com, to find my email address. Thank you. And we have any other calls?
No,
that's it?
That's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Well, we got a minute left, so let's say who we are. Besides WBAI New York. As the Q, right? That's the Q. And that's some of the news for Tuesday, December 24th, 2019. The news was produced by Linda Perry. Our engineer is Reggie Johnson. From the studios of the independent, locally produced, and listener-sponsored WBAI News, happy holidays, or happy any day, and happy solstice. I'm Paul Durienzo.